We're up to Malachim Bet, Perek Vav. And what do we got? Questions, comments?
I got one.
Go. Go.
At the beginning of the Perek, there's kind of just a change in story. Like, there's no... It doesn't make sense. First, it's talking about the axe, and then the next thing you know, the king of Aram is fighting against Israel.
Yeah, we are dealing with different stories. Okay. I'm not sure if there's a connection, if some of them first and deal with a connection. I don't know. Something to look into.
What's with the chariot fire? Is there something behind chariot fire? Because we've seen it before a couple times.
Well, we had a chariot fire that took Eliyahu up
to
Shammai.
Now there's another chariot of fire.
Right. Now there's chariots of fire. These are like chariots of angels. Right? Angels are riding the chariots of fire. Right? When we talk about the different types of angels, we refer to Seraphim. Leumatam is, right? What do we say in Kedusha? In Kedusha, where do we have that? We refer to the angels as Misnasim Leumat Seraphim. Seraphim are the fiery angels. So that's what these are, fire angels. But keep in mind, when I speak next Thursday night, I'm going to refer back to this that story with the chariots of fires. It'll be just for you guys. Say, everyone knows it says in the sixth paragraph. Okay. Anyway, yes, go on. What do you got here?
The floating axe incident.
Floating axe incident. What's with the floating axe? And it's borrowed. Right? Like, it's borrowed. So what do you understand from that?
I don't know. All I was thinking about was the second paragraph of Marcos.
You're thinking of the sixth paragraph
of Marcos?
Oh, yeah. You're saying, because everything relates back to the Gemara. So, wow, he must have been chopping wood. Did the splinter go and hit the guy? Or was the axe hand, the black's blade with? That's a machlokas.
That's just giving you my head on, too.
Okay.
So what happens with... He says, let's go to Shomron. And then they got there, and he's like, open up their eyes, and they're like, whoa, we're in Shomron.
Oh, we're going to get to
is
that.
Is everyone blind, or are they just...
We're going to get to that. Let's start with the axe. B'nai Nevi'im. Who are the B'nai Nevi'im? These are people that are disciples of Elisha. They're studying to be Nevi'im. They might even get some low-level Nevuah. We'd already mentioned before, there could have been hundreds and hundreds of Nevi'im walking around. We only know the names of those who had Nevuah that has lasting impact on us. And he had a band of people. Mistama, they were poor. Okay? They didn't even own an axe. They had to borrow an axe. So what they're saying is, the axe fell in the water, and it borrows. Now it's a chilul Hashem. We're like the yeshiva guys. And we went and we borrowed something and not returning it. So it looks bad. And that's why there's like, it wasn't over the money. It was over how will it look. And then he does this miracle, where he just sends out the handle and boom, the blade comes floating up to the top. Again, like, I don't know. Okay, we're seeing that he does lots of miracles. Remember I mentioned, the Chazal mentioned, he had twice as many miracles he performed that we have in the Navi as that Eliyahu performed. And some of them are very minor and just a small number of people, as opposed to big miracles that everyone needs. This is,
why?
We could have just found another axe and replaced it, let me just do a miracle here for you.
I think you said last time I was here that he didn't want to do it like a
month and a half ago when we were in Shmuel. I'm sorry.
A full niece. And it's like, it's not that the axe had floated into the guy's hand. He's like, floated up to the top of the water. He's like, go get it. Go pick it up yourself.
Right.
You know, he helped him out.
And then it says somewhere that they walked on water. It's a different book. Okay. So they got the axe. Yeah.
So it's not a full
weird that he's going around just, doing magic all over the place. It's like, miracle over here, miracle over there.
Right. That's why I said it's so weird that we all know Eliyahu, but Elisha is not as well known. And he does miracles right and left.
Why is God just chill with the fact of him doing miracles? Isn't that a thing that you're not supposed to rely on a miracle? Just like, what makes you think God's going to help
you with the axe? So that's why I said over here with the axe thing, I think it's the Chil Hashem aspect. That's why I think it's important. It's not just, we're cheap and we don't want to like go buy another axe. It's like, we're poor, we don't have another axe, and it's going to be Chil Hashem. So once he put it that way, Elisha goes, all right, let's get it back. And he gets it back. Okay, bigger question, the bigger story is the whole thing was going on with Melech Aram. What lesson is Melech Aram taught?
Not to eat your kids?
Not to eat your kids? No, that's not Melech Aram.
That's weird. Awesome.
What, we're going to get to the eating the kids thing. What message is Melech Aram taught? Very important message. The greatness of the Navi. The last parak talked about how Na'aman, as an individual, happened to be the Sar Tzava, but an individual learned, was blown away by what Elisha can do, to the point that he now only wants to worship Hashem, wants to take dirt back with him, to worship Hashem and think of Hashem when he has to bow down in Aram. And now Melech Aram, for the nation, knows, the Navi knows the secrets. What happens? In our parak it says, every move he makes, Am Yisrael already, as if they knew, was ready for it. And he says, all right, obviously they have an inside man that's planted in our government, because they keep telling him what strategies we're making. To which Naaman says, yeah, his name is Elisha, he doesn't have to have an inside man. He knows what the conversations you're having in your bedroom. They don't need spies. Right? They don't need spies. And every time the attack is foiled, does Melech Aram buy that? No. He sends another group of people, right? And what do they do now? They decide to capture him. Now what happens?
Makes them blind.
Any other story in Tanakh this remind you of?
Yitzchak. He's blind. I'm just thinking of all blind people.
Okay, keep going.
I thought Choshech.
Makan Choshech. It's almost like thinking...
blind.
Gemara Makos. Okay.
Shimshon.
What?
No. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. Perek Yutet of Bereishit. Take a look back. What's happened in Perek Yutet of Bereishit? Take a look back. What happened in Perek Yutet of Bereishit? Look, you have it in there.
Loot.
Good.
Stone is destroyed. Oh, the angels make them
laugh. Oh, what do I think of that? I don't know, because people tried to get them, and then instead of being able to get them, God struck them all with blindness. I don't know, that's why I thought of it. I mean, just... But Shimshon was a good one, or
I don't know what Shimshon is.
Oh, okay, that, you know, that could have been. Or Yitzchak, you know.
I said that was way before I started doing Shnei Mikras.
Way before. So basically, I have to start from Emor.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you have in both places, there was the Malach, here it's the Navi, people trying to attack, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu strikes them with blindness, leading to their downfall. Now what's interesting is, they could have killed him. But what does he do instead? It's like this. It's. They're like blind. He says, "Follow me." Right? You're looking for the Navi. I don't know if you guys ever watched Bugs Bunny. I used to watch Bugs Bunny, and the guy was like, "Come and say, I'm hunting Wabbit." Couldn't say an R. And he goes, "Well, did he? Well, you know, have big ears? He has big ears. Did he like chew on a rat carrot?" Like, yeah. He goes, "Never seen him." Anyway, yeah. So like, he was like, "Oh, you're looking for the Navi? Here, follow me. I'll take you to him." Okay. And they follow him, where right into Am Yisrael's army camp. And he said, okay, open their eyes. Boom, there we are. We're surrounded. Guns are pointed at our heads. Okay. So now the general says, should we, you know, pull an ISIS? No. No need. Just give them food and you know, whatever. And send them on their way. Why? What's the purpose here? What's the purpose? Education. He does, like, education is the way to change the way that people think. Nathan Sharansky wrote a book all about what we have over here, like going on in the Western world. Said that you need to educate. You can't legislate, you need to educate. He said in Russia, there was no, where he grew up, there was no freedom of speech. There has to be that someone could, you know, make a statement and not fear for his life. And he said that the only way we're going to have peace with the Arabs is someone can make a dissenting view and not fear for his life. That's not what happens now. And if you want to change, you want to have peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors, it has to start with the education. You look at their school books, and their school books are, you've got three Jews, you only killed two, how many more do you have to kill? Right? Like, these are sort of like the way they're being brought up. So how are you ever going to have peace if this is the message? And over here you see, he's saying, let's try to do this in an educational way. I find it also interesting that Elisha sees his force around him, And his Nara starts freaking out. He goes, oh my God, we're surrounded. And he goes, oh no, we're not. He goes, what do you mean we're not? Goes, oh, I'm sorry. You can't see what I see. 1 second, boom. Oh, wow, look at all those chariots of fire. Oh, they're surrounded. Okay. Right, so like there's things that we don't see that maybe that guy that was sitting over there sees, right? We don't see. Some holy special people get to see. Whoever's listening down on the recording will understand what I'm talking about. That's okay. And special people get to see. Elisha was one of them. Now, look at this week's parsha. Perachav Vav, Vayikra, Pasachav Tet. What does it say?
Pasuk what?
29.
You will eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of the daughters you will eat.
Okay, turn now to Devarim, the Tochachan, Devarim Chav Chet, 53-57. Come on, Ari. Aaron beat him. He always wins.
Yeah.
Rami's like the fastest.
Chav Chet 50 what?
53-57.
Okay.
Yeah. Page 495.
You will eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, which Hashem your God had given you, in the siege and the stress that your enemy will distress you. The man among you who is tender and very delicate will turn selfish against his brother and the wife of his bosom and against the remaining children that his... that he has let survive, not to give even one of them of the flesh of his children that he will eat, not leaving anything for him in the siege and distress that your enemy will distress you in all your cities. The tender and delicate woman among you who had never tried to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of delicacy and tenderness will turn selfish against the husband of her bosom and against her bosom and against her son and daughter and against her afterbirth that emerges from between her legs and against her children whom she will bear, for she will eat them in the secret for lack of anything in the siege and distress their enemy will distress you in your cities.
It's like a Tisha B'Av thing. You came on Tisha B'Av about people eating their kids.
Yeah. And, but this is the Tocha that we have in Vayikra, we have in Dvarim, and we, in our Perek, see this exact thing. Right? The Tocha talks about eating your children. Dvarim, it talks about not sharing. Right? If you look back at our Perek, go back to our Perek, what did the woman say to the king? The king says, what's bothering you? And what was her comment? I made a deal with this other woman. Today we'll eat my kid. Tomorrow we'll eat her kid. Doesn't say anything about Shechtan. What does it mean? Both kids are already dead. And today we cooked up my kid and we ate him. And now she's being a pig. And she's just like eating her kid by herself. Wasn't a matter of like, she couldn't bear to kill her kid. Doesn't say anything about killing. The kid was dead. She just wants to eat her kid by herself and not share. And I shared my kid yesterday. And think about what's going on here. Women who are usually the most sensitive people. That's what it said. Sensitive women. That's what it said in Dvarim. Have now, they're like talking about cannibalism as if this is something normal. Right? This is how far we have sunk over here. Now, why does the king, at the end of our parak, curse out Elisha?
It's for the prophet to take care, I guess.
I don't know, if you're a Makos guy, you should say, if it happened on your watch, right? Don't we blame the Kohen Gadol for even a Hariga B'Shogeg?
Yeah.
So, it could be that he says, look, there's a 7-year famine that's going on.
Where's the prophet been?
Yeah, where are you? There's no davening?
You're making nothing. Axes float up.
Right, that you can do, but a little rainfall, that's beyond your ability. So he's blaming him. Remember the sort of we had between Eliyahu and Achav, Ata Ocher Yisrael, no, Ata Ocher Yisrael, you're the... That's what we're having now, round two, where the king is saying, where are you? Right? You're busy doing these little miracles here and there, but Am Yisrael is starving. Where are you? Now also, you understand, like, I mean, it fits in beautifully what we said before. When the battles were, the king first wanted to try a battle, and went, you know, to the right. Oh, Am Yisrael knew they were coming. To left, Am Yisrael knew they were coming. it really we really now understand what Elisha had said about Eliyahu. Now it's about him. Avi avi rechav Yisrael of Rasham. You are the chariot of the war. Because of you, we win. And we see over here, Am Yisrael already had a heads up on every move they were going to make. Who told them? Elisha told them. He was the best military strategist because he actually had the inside information. And he told them all. And that's why, obviously, he is so vital. And the king, recognizing how important he is upset that he's allowing Am Yisrael to suffer so much.